degrees with a low down to 68. And then on Friday, back in the mid-80s, about 86 for a high. We're at 76 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is 12:30. Dave Mularkey is coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Once again, everyone, welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, a Wednesday that feels kind of like Friday, don't you think, with the holiday coming up. And I'm assuming that there are quite a few people who are going to take Friday off if they are able to and make it a super-duper long holiday weekend. If that's your plans, good. Unfortunately, the weather folks aren't cooperating a great deal as we have marginal weather forecasts for the next 3 days, actually. Today, tomorrow, and Friday, it's pretty much the same forecast with a chance of showers and thunderstorms popping up, so we may have to plan the 4th of July picnics around the showers tomorrow. We'll see. Now, we haven't had anything yet today, but haven't had a whole lot of sunshine either. In fact, we had some sunshine early this morning, and that was about it. Clouds have kind of moved in, a little gloomy. They've knocked down the predicted high temperature for today, as we're still in the mid-70s. I mean, it's not cold by any means, but they had earlier predicted mid-80s. I don't know where they're going to get there when the cloud's out there. Nothing showing on radar right now in terms of shower activity, but that can pop up pretty quickly. We'll just have to wait and see. It's very unsettled. Yesterday, it didn't look like we were going to get anything for a long time, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything bloomed. I guess it was around 6 o'clock last evening, 6:30, depending on your location. We had some pretty good storms move through. Some pretty strong downpours for a while, and then it was all gone. So we'll see what happens today, tomorrow, and again on Friday. Open talk to begin the program today. Later, we're going to be talking with guests. Dr. William Pinsky will be with us, along with another physician, Dr. Beatrice Wills, talking about what appears to be a looming shortage of physicians, a doctor shortage in the United States. And they say it could be a crisis within a few years. So talk about that. Something new to me. Also on the program today, a little bit later on, Ali Master, talking about immigration. Has been very much in the news these days. Ali Master is an immigrant himself, coming from Pakistan quite a few years ago. He's made a great success here in the U.S. Has a job, a pretty big job, a top job with an accounting firm. But he'll talk about immigration from a personal standpoint because he was an immigrant. Now a U.S. citizen. So that's coming up later on the program today. But open talk to begin with, 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Speaking of immigration, last few days, been a big story on all the cable news networks and the national news about the crisis at the border and the conditions at some of these detention centers on the border where migrants have come over from Mexico, and they're waiting for hearings here in the U.S. as to whether or not they are fleeing persecution and so on. And the conditions are cramped and ugly, no question about it. I thought Dave Ross had a great commentary this morning. here on WISI, Dave Ross, CBS commentator. And he said, well, yes, conditions are bad. They're crowded. They're ugly. They're dirty. But that's what happens when you get more people than are able to be handled at any place. And he, I mean, he wasn't making a joke, but he mentioned Woodstock. He was apparently at Woodstock 50 years ago, and he said it, when it got too bad and too dirty, he up and left. Well, these people can't up and leave, but he said, you know, when you get more people than were expected, more people than you can handle in any one place, it gets that way. And maybe some of these migrants don't realize that that's what's going to happen. If they keep filing in and there's no more room at these holding centers. I don't know. I've not been there. They had members of Congress down there within the past few days. And even a report from government agencies said conditions are poor. Yes, they're extremely poor. But as Dave Ross said today, what's the solution? I mean, are you going to build more holding areas? What can you do? What can you do? The Trump administration suggested a few weeks ago shifting some of these migrants who were awaiting hearings to so-called sanctuary cities. But that never came to fruition. Some folks thought maybe they were just running that up the flagpole to see what the reaction might be. I don't have any answer here, except that Congress needs to get busy, finally, after all these years, and come up with a revised immigration policy. They've just been kicking the can down the road for years and years. They don't want to tackle the problem. They don't want to do the tough work about coming up with immigration reform, and as a result, we have this problem. We have all these people there. And Congress doesn't seem to be in any hurry to do anything, which is one reason why the Obama administration took action. And now the Trump administration is taking action, in some cases reversing what President Obama had done. But it's all because Congress has not seen fit to come up with any immigration reform. It's a sad situation, especially when you see, you know, that picture that everybody saw on TV with the migrant and his little daughter, both face down along the banks of the Rio Grande. They had drowned. I mean, it's a horrible situation, of course. But what's to be done? How to fix it? What are you going to do with all these people? 283-2525 is the number. It's open talk on the first portion of the program today, 283-2525. Well, it's Independence Day tomorrow, the 4th of July. A lot of folks will be celebrating with picnics and fireworks and so on and so forth. Fireworks actually come from, as I recall, was John Adams, I think, member of the very prominent member of the Second Continental Congress, where the Declaration of Independence was adopted. John Adams suggested that this day should be celebrated with fireworks forevermore. And that's why we do it on the 4th of July. Fireworks, yeah, and picnics, and remembering the Declaration of Independence, where the members of the Continental Congress declared independence from Great Britain. Okay, open talk. Let's get to the people here today. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi.
Hi.
When exactly is the All-Star Game?
It is July 9th in Cleveland, Ohio. It's next Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. 283-2525 is the number. Open talk. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm getting a little tired of the rain. It needs to go away. I don't know how our local farmers are even surviving this. I have a question to ask you, and then I'll give you my short opinion of what do you think of the parade that Mr. Trump is putting on in Washington, D.C. tomorrow?
Well, I assume you're speaking of the fact that it's going to be a military parade?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
I think he's trying to compete with everyone else's marches and shows off their soldiers and artillery, and what a waste of money. We could be putting that money to better use. Maybe a lot of people lost their homes and flooding and fires and everything else in the United States. I just think that parade is a waste of time and money.
Well, Trump has been anxious to have one of these parades ever since he was in France a couple of years ago on the Bastille Day, and they had a huge military parade through Paris down the Champs-Élysées. And President Trump was there, and he was very impressed, and he's wanted to have that. He wanted to have one, I don't know, it was a year or so ago. I forget exactly the circumstances then, but that one never came about. But obviously this is something that he wants very badly to do.
Well, I just, like I said, I think whether, I don't care when he has it, why he has it, I just still think that that money could be put to better use. Too many cutbacks in schools and colleges and, you know, people out of work. And, you know, there's a lot more things that we could use that money for other than that.
Alrighty,
maybe some other callers will give us their opinions. Thank you.
Sure. As I understand it, and I forget the exact amount. I heard it this morning. For some reason, $2.5 million sticks in my mind that's been transferred. The National Parks Department is the one that's in charge of handling all this, and they would be diverting those funds from other national park projects. But, you know, I mean, when you look in terms of the national budget, that's a drop in the bucket in terms of, you know, a million here, a million there. But the concept of it has been disturbing to some. The idea of a military parade. When I see that or hear that, my first thought is, you know, those videos that we've seen time and time again of North Korea, where they parade all their missiles and their soldiers goose stepping, you know, down the road, or back in the days of the Soviet Union, now Russia, where they do that a lot. That's what I tend to think of. I can understand why some people aren't comfortable with seeing that in the United States. I mean, do we have to parade our military might? I mean, I assume everyone knows that we have a very strong military. Should it be paraded around, in a military style parade? I don't know. President Trump seems to think so. Some people seem to disagree. It'll be a big deal. There's always fireworks on the 4th of July. Well, everywhere, but they have a massive display in Washington, D.C. I understand the one tomorrow night's going to be much bigger than it's ever been before. Okay. Well, I don't plan to watch it on TV. I've never watched those things on TV. If I want to see fireworks, I can go around here. Quite frankly, it's changed a lot since I was a kid. Fireworks were a pretty big deal. And the only time we had them was on the 4th of July. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm becoming cynical or whatever, but it seems like fireworks are everywhere anymore. You know, they're quite commonplace. You have them at ball games. The Pittsburgh Pirates have several fireworks nights a year. Now there's a lot of places have them on New Year's Eve. You have fireworks here. You have fireworks there. You know, the Butler Blue Sox, when they were in business, they had, five fireworks nights during the months of June and July, whenever the Blue Sox were playing. It just seems like it's become so commonplace that it's not special anymore. at least from the way I remember it, on the 4th of July, whenever that was the night, the only night during the year when you had fireworks. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525, and they are expensive. There's no question about that. And some folks have wondered whether it's worth the money, given the other projects that need done by municipalities. But if you want to set aside some money for fireworks displays, I don't see anything wrong with that. Massive displays all the time. Pittsburgh has more fireworks displays now than you can keep track of. They have them for the regatta, right, down there. It just seems to have lost its specialness to me. Maybe that's just me. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk here on this day before Independence Day, July 3rd. Let's get back to the people here. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello, Dave. I was thinking about these fireworks, and I thought mostly that's probably just disposable income anyway. We've got a lot of money in this country. So, and besides that, you know, it's just 1st of July, and pretty soon it's going to be August, and we'll be looking at fall and winter.
Oh, my.
So why don't we enjoy July?
I don't want to think about winter yet. I hear
you. Well, me either, but that's just the feeling I have.
Well, I enjoy July, too. My only point was that fireworks are not such a big deal anymore as they used to be when I was a kid. You know, we got them all over the place.
They're even going to have fireworks in West Sunbury tonight.
Well, in individual communities, I don't see anything wrong with that. Most of the...
Oh, me either.
Most of the smaller places, I mean, they don't have these massive, you know, displays. They do what they can afford, and that's terrific. There are many, many towns that have had fireworks displays forever, you know. East Brady, I know, has had a big one
year.
They shoot them off up above the river there and makes quite a show, and that's fine. That's fine.
Sure, it's pretty. We might as well have some down in D.C. That's my feeling about it.
Good enough.
Well, thanks for listening to me.
Hey, thanks for sharing your thoughts. That's what we do here on the program.
Okay.
And happy Independence Day to you.
Yeah, same to you. Yeah. Have a good... what are you going to have?
Hot dogs. What are you going to have on the 4th of July? Hot dogs.
Okay, hot dogs and hamburgers. Okay.
Thanks, my friend.
Thanks again.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Yeah, goodbye.
283-2525 is our number. It's open talk. 283-2525. Hi, caller. Dave here. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello, Dave. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
How are you doing today?
Good. Nice to talk to you. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Dave, I'm a little puzzled.
Mm-hmm.
Up there where the new VA is, up there
on, Duffy,
on that old farm used to be.
Duffy Road, yeah.
Yes, yes. Now, apparently the owner, he lives up there somewhere, and now because of that VA, I guess he's getting a lot of water in his house or something. He's having a problem with runoff.
I've seen that there have been some problems with that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I don't quite understand what he was thinking when he sold that property for that purpose, because after seeing the disaster that happened with the first site, anything involved with the VA, if you think you're going to come out on top, you must not be thinking too much. In addition to that, if he's any kind of farmer at all, instead of selling him the top part where it was well drained, he should have sold him the lower section, because all that property that used to be under tillage and was absorbing all that rain... Well, now it's all concrete, it's roof lines, it's asphalt. Where did he think that water was going to go? I don't understand. He must not have been much of a farmer, but...
Well, can you...
I just can't believe that first site where the VA ripped that all up and that ground was torn and the topsoil's gone and now there's nothing but mounds of dirt and weeds. My daughter lives over in that area, and it still hasn't been taken care of properly. Not in my opinion, at least.
Oh,
I don't know. What
I
do you think?
I agree. That was an utter disaster. It was just stupid from beginning to end. But, you know, that's water over the dam. I mean, that's, you know, 5-6 years ago. Now, as with regard to this new site, I'm a little unclear about where the runoff is causing a problem. I mean, the VA site runs the whole way down to Duffy Road, even though the hospital facility is built up on top of the hill. You know, you have to go up a rather long driveway, and then there's parking lots, and then so where is the runoff occurring? Do you know?
I don't know. I've just heard about his complaints, so he must have lived somewhere close by, but it just, hey, everything that was built on top of that farm ground, that's not absorbing any more water.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be running off the, you know, toward the back of the property or maybe down the side. I don't know. I have seen, though, that Center Township is aware of the problem, and they're in talks with the developer. It's not actually the Veterans Administration that owns the property. It's some developer that bought it and built the facility, and then it's leased by the Veterans Administration. But it's my understanding that Center Township officials are in consultation with the developer as to whether or not that was done properly and how it can be repaired and so on and so forth. But that's all I know about it.
Well, I guess I can't argue your point there, but still, if the VA is overseeing what's going to be their future location, you'd have thought, well, I don't know what the people from the VA administration's thinking half the time anyhow, and I see how the shambles are that they arrange things, but...
Well, have you been in that new facility, the A.B. Abraham VA Medical Center?
I have not, but what do they do up there?
Oh, it's a fabulous, fabulous place. Are you a veteran? You ought to stop in and take a look.
Well, I should, I guess, but what do they do up there?
Well, they do everything that
is
they
do. Is that all
they
just
do,
administration, or what is that?
No. All of the operations and services that took place at the old campus on Newcastle Road, they've all shifted over to the new place. They handle, you know, veterans go in there for their medical examinations and so on and so forth. The only thing that's left at the old site are the assisted living center and the domiciliary. But all the other activities and services are transferred to the new place.
So they're going to close that original site then?
Well, they haven't said what they're going to do with that, you know, the big building, the main building on that campus, but it's going to be either repurposed or torn down, one of the two. They're not using it for medical services anymore.
I see. I didn't know.
And it was, you know, let's be honest about it. That building was constructed in the late 1930s. So it's an old, old building and really was not suited for modern medicine anymore, you know.
Well, and no argument there. I'm sure there'd be too much of an upgrade would have had to be made in order to get it up to current codes and you know, that building, like you said, insulation and everything else. But just the fact that the site right adjacent to it was the one that was supposed to be set up for the replacement, and I just drive past that area, and like I said, my daughter lives there, borders that property, and it's a darn shame what happened there and what's been allowed to. Well, there's no sense talking about it, I guess.
I agree with you absolutely. I thought that was the best site, and it was a travesty how it was handled. They bought that Deshaun Woods property. It was a nice little wooded area owned by Butler Township. Had some picnic tables there, and it was a nice place, and they cut down all those trees and then nothing. You know,
it's stripped just off half of the doggone topsoil, and that's the end of that.
I agree with you. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk with you today.
Thank you, David.
Sure. And have a good holiday. Have a good 4th of July. We need to take a break, and we'll do that, and we'll come back with more of the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We'll be back in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. If you're still wrapping up your spring cleaning, yeah, me too. I'm not sure. I started early this year with the greatest of intentions, and I never quite got finished. Listen, if you end up with stuff that you don't need or don't want anymore, whether it's clothing, furniture, knickknacks, whatever, consider donating those unwanted items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8, just south of Butler. I'll sell those items there, and every penny of the proceeds will go toward helping to fund the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and the client aid program, another arm of the many good works of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Every penny from the operation of the thrift store stays right here in Butler County. And you were going to throw that stuff away anyway, right? So think about it. They like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. It's a wonderful thought. And don't forget, just a couple of weeks now, they'll be starting their collection of excess garden produce. You backyard gardeners, if you've got extra tomatoes or peppers or beans or whatever, it all starts to come on in fairly short order now. Consider donating any excess that you have to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. It's a wonderful treat for families who depend on the food bank to be able to get fresh local produce instead of non-perishable items, which is mainly what they have at the food bank. So think about that. They're not quite ready to start the weekly collections yet, but they will be very soon, and we'll give you details on that when that comes around in another couple of weeks. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Wonderful people doing wonderful things for the less fortunate.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back. We're just about ready to talk with our first guest on the It's Your Turn program today. I always, when we get to this time of the year, the 4th of July, Independence Day, I hearken back to a wonderful, wonderful Broadway musical entitled 1776. Many times it's on TV. There's a film adaptation version of it, and many times it's on TV over the 4th, so you can look for that if you've never seen it before, or even if you have. I've seen it many, many times. It's really terrific. It's the story of the members of the Second Continental Congress debating and finally passing the Declaration of Independence. And it was no easy task. You know, we look back on it 250 years ago now. We say, well, it must have been pretty easy, you know, the Declaration of Independence. Who wouldn't vote for that? There were a lot of representatives to the Second Continental Congress who were not going to vote for it. It was very much up in the air, even down to the final vote. It was pretty close. And the story of that is told in that musical 1776. All the big names are there. Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. Although George Washington is only referred to, he's not actually one of the characters in the musical or in the film he's referred to. It's a wonderful piece, and some great music, too. So look for it if it's on the air, on television, over the next couple of days. 1776. Musical Theater Guild here in Butler has presented that musical actually a couple of times over the last quarter century. It's a good show. Good story. It's a wonderful story. It's the story of our country and our Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. Well, we need to squeeze in one more quick break here, and we're scheduled to chat with our first guests on the program today. We're going to be talking about a pending shortage of physicians here in the United States. Now, that could be a real crisis, and we have a couple of guests who say it may be just around the corner. So stick with us. That's coming up next here on It's Your Turn on WISR. A quick program note, and we will not have a live program tomorrow on the 4th of July, but we will take the opportunity to revisit some interviews that we've done in the past that are most timely. First thing we're going to do on tomorrow's program is revisit the interview that we did with Deb Kruger, the history professor at Butler County Community College, on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. It was about a month ago that we marked that occasion, and in case you didn't hear that, it was really a great interview we were able to do with Deb Kruger. We will listen to that again on tomorrow's program. And also tomorrow, on the 4th of July, the story of the Statue of Liberty. So we hope you can tune in and enjoy that on tomorrow's program as well. Okay, back to talk about an impending physician shortage right after this.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Coming up on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about what could be a real shortage of doctors in the future. We have two medical doctors to speak with us about this today, Dr. William Pinsky and Dr. Beatrice Wills. Doctors, nice to have you here today.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you for having us.
Let me start out with you, Dr. Pinsky. What's the deal on this doctor shortage? I was not aware of this.
Well, we actually have been in the grips of a doctor shortage for a while. I think that recent research and the prediction for the next few decades specifically important, because there have been a lot of attempts made to ameliorate this shortage by increasing the number of U.S. medical schools, increasing the size of the medical school classes. But because of an aging population, which includes my demographic as well, the need for health care continues to increase and continues to outpace the best efforts to improve the supply of graduates in the United States. And this is one of the reasons why the continuing need for international medical graduates is so important.
I want to address this question specifically to you, Dr. Wills. There is an increasing number of cancer cases in the country. You have a fellowship in hematology oncology at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, so you would have particular interest in this, would you not?
Yes, absolutely, Dave. I'm starting my fellowship actually next Monday, and I'm really looking forward to it. Cancer diagnoses are increasing really fast, and I think that it's probably multifactorial. Just as Dr. Pinsky was mentioning, our population is aging, and as we age, cancer is more frequent. But we are also getting better at diagnosing cancer early, so we now diagnose cancer at earlier stages, whereas before we were probably missing many cancer diagnoses.
Dr. Pinsky, I'd like to elaborate with you a little bit on the shortage of physicians. Why is it important that we pay attention to the role that international medical graduates play here in U.S. healthcare? Why is that so important, sir?
So even before the recent data came out projecting the shortages in the future, international medical graduates have played an extremely important role in the delivery of healthcare in the United States. According to the AMA master file database, approximately 25% of all licensed physicians in the United States have gone to medical school outside of the United States and Canada. And while a small percentage of those are U.S. citizens, the vast majority are individuals like Dr. Wills, who come from another country and did their medical education in that country. So that current access to health care is dependent on international graduates. And then even beyond that, the international graduates are more likely to be working in historically underserved areas where the access is so critical. And that would be underserved areas both in the urban environment as well as in the rural. And because the process is so difficult for international medical graduates to really get here and do their training, it's the best that they get through this. And they bring special expertise and qualities that I think even increase the quality of healthcare in our communities.
Dr. Wills, you're from Bogota in Colombia. Can you tell us, Dr. Wills, what inspired you to pursue oncology as a specialty and why you decided to come to the U.S. for training?
Yes, absolutely, Dave. So I was inspired by my dad when he was diagnosed with lung cancer. I was introduced to the field of oncology, where I quickly found that it was a beautiful specialty. I find that my scientific curiosity is satisfied there. Learning about cancer is amazing. And then in oncology, I also am able to build really strong relationships with patients who have cancer. And in terms of why I decided to come to the United States for training, I knew that I wanted to be the best oncologist possible, and it's really here where I have the opportunities to meet amazing oncologists, researchers, and the quality of medical education here is just outstanding.
Our other guest listeners, Dr. William Pinsky, MD, is president and CEO of the Educational Commission for Foreign Medical Graduates, ECFMG for short. What is this organization, Dr. Pinsky? Can you tell us about it?
Sure. Thanks, Dave. ECFMG is a nonprofit, non-governmental agency that was founded over 60 years ago to certify physicians who've gone to medical school outside of the United States and Canada and wish to come here for further training and possibly practice. ECFMG was formed really as a result of a large influx of physicians coming to the United States in the years following World War II. And the question arose properly as to what the qualifications were of these individuals. So ECFMG has developed and evolved a process over the decades to do what we call primary source verification, where we determine that the individual, the applicant, is who they say they are, that medical school transcript and diplomas are genuine, and that in working with the U.S. Department of Treasury and doing a background check on these individuals, that there's nothing in their background to preclude their coming to the United States. After doing this primary source verification process, which really is a form of extreme vetting, we then register the individuals to take the USMLE exam, that's the United States Medical Licensing Exam, which is the same exam all doctors have to take in order to obtain a license in the United States. And after they pass the first three parts of that, then we can register them to try to find a residency position or fellowship position like Dr. Wills has just completed and just starting to further their training. We receive approximately 20,000 applications a year. And because of the vetting process and the need to pass the examinations, it takes on an average of 3 years for individuals to get through this process. And then when they're successful in getting a residency position, we then are the only agency authorized by the Department of State to sponsor J-1 visas, which is a cultural exchange visa, for them to come to the United States for this training. And while they're on the J-1 visa, we actually have formal responsibilities for their health and welfare while they are here. So our agency is quite involved in the entire process, including even after they're certified and on their visa.
Dr. Wills, you're studying on one of these J-1 visas. Can you tell us, first of all, how long have you been in the U.S., and can you talk a little bit about your experience as an international medical graduate here in America?
Yes, absolutely. So I came to the United States in 2016. I started my intern year at Johns Hopkins Hospital, and I just finished my internal residency at Johns Hopkins. It has been fantastic. I'm actually, just as Dr. Finsky is mentioning, I'm looking forward to start my fellowship in oncology next week. It has been a marvelous opportunity just from a personal perspective. I've met wonderful people who have taught me everything I know about internal medicine, and I've been privileged of taking care of patients in my primary care clinic, patients supervised by amazing mentors.
Dr. Pinsky, one last question before our time runs out here. Is there anything else that our listeners should know about the quality of care provided by international medical graduates?
Yeah, I think that the public can be very well assured that the international medical graduates with whom they may have contact have gone through a proper vetting process, and that their credentials are impeccable. They can also be assured that the quality of care that they're receiving from these individuals is also extremely high. Our research department completed a study a few years ago comparing patient outcomes with international medical graduates to U.S. medical school graduates, and the patient outcomes are at least comparable to the U.S. graduates, and in some cases probably a little bit higher. The public also needs to know that because this process is so rigorous, that when the international graduates come to this country, they are the best. You know, they're the best that's out there. And not only do they learn a lot during their training program, as Dr. Wills just described, they add to the program in terms of their intellectual capabilities. I'm sure Dr. Wills, as a resident at Johns Hopkins, added quite a bit to the residency program there, and will do the same during her fellowship program. And another way to look at this is, without the international medical graduates, each of these programs would have something less than that they have today. And so this is very positive for our country.
Very, very interesting discussion. Listeners, you may have heard a few stories. I've seen a few on the wire about a potential future shortage of physicians here in the U.S., and some estimates indicate that within a decade or so, we could have a real crisis in terms of a shortage of physicians in both primary and specialty care. Talking about the situation and how international medical graduates are continuing to help avert this potential crisis, our two guests are visiting with us today, Dr. William Pinsky, M.D., and Dr. Beatrice Wills, M.D. Thank you, doctors. Nice to talk with you today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In the middle of this summer heat, take a Saturday night and go back to the good old days with an evening of golden memories at the Tanglewood Center. On Saturday, July 13th, enjoy listening to music spanning nearly four decades with performances by the Doo-Wop Shop and Platinum 2. Doors open at 6, buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, show starts at 8. Tickets are $25, and as always, it's BYOB. It's an evening of golden memories, Saturday, July 13th at the Tanglewood. For tickets, call 724-287-0021.
$3. Not too much $3 can buy these days, not even a gallon of gas. Fortunately, with the Butler Transit Authority, $3 provides you with all-day transportation with over 250 local Butler bus stops. Butler Transit can get you to all the major Butler shopping destinations, medical facilities, downtown, and much more. Visit our downtown bus terminal on West Newcastle Street or on the web at butlertransit.com.
Here's what's coming up next. Greatest Hits USA.
Hey, this is Chuck Taylor from Greatest Hits USA. Coming up this weekend, we'll answer the following questions. Who sang live in New York's Grand Central Station? What singer had a musical created about him? And who had the number one record this week in 67? Turn it up this weekend for Greatest Hits USA, right here.
Tune in every Saturday right after the news at noon here on WISR 680.
Greatest Hits USA.
Immigration, specifically from a personal perspective, is the topic of discussion on this segment of the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Ali Master, who joins us by telephone today. He's the author of a book called Beyond the Golden Door. Ali Master, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here.
Thanks to have me, Dave.
What inspired you to write Beyond the Golden Door?
Well, first of all, for your audiences who may want to know, well, where does this golden door come from? It's really straight out of the Statue of Liberty quote where it says, "Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." So golden door is the entryway to the United States. I wrote this, really it's been in the makings, Dave, for almost 18 years, especially after 9/11 happened. I grew up in Pakistan, a Muslim country, and came here and experienced some amazing, amazing, unique freedoms that I feel are only available here in the United States. And I really wanted people to know, not everybody that grew up and came here from a Muslim country hates America. And then over the last few years, though, because life happened, I got busy. Last few years, I just felt like we needed a reminder, first, second, third generation Americans, just how unique and special these freedoms are and why they should be preserved and are worth fighting for and dying for.
Do you think some Americans kind of take these freedoms for granted now?
Maybe not consciously, but yeah, I think that just happens. I mean, I have four kids of my own, and they all grew up here, and it takes work to just, even one generation apart, to help them to appreciate those. And I really talk about five freedoms that, for me, made all the difference in Beyond the Golden Door. Freedom to fail and start again, freedom to love, where I compare arranged marriage to love marriage, freedom of religion and freely seeking truth, and freedom to build things, entrepreneurship, and then freedom to govern yourself. Those are the five things that I feel are very special here.
Ali Master, an immigrant from Pakistan, as he mentioned many, many years ago. Ali Master is now a senior executive at Ernst & Young, a global firm. How did you, as a former Muslim, feel when the horrible tragedy of 9/11 occurred, Ali?
Well, it really inspired a lot of emotions in me, Dave, because at that time I was, having married an American, I was a permanent resident, and then after 9/11, I just felt like I needed to become a U.S. citizen, so I became a citizen and took the oath of citizenship for United States in 2002. It was a hard time. In the beginning, I was just driving around, not wanting to go to airports, worried about, you know, some of the things that had happened to people from, you know, Muslim countries, and I was honestly, overall, pleasantly surprised by my own treatment. Even though there were some incidents, I felt like overall, the American citizenry really handled itself well, considering the magnitude of the tragedy. And then when I went back home, that sort of also inspired me, because the more east I traveled, the more I realized just the visceral reactions to America and how people even in my own country didn't even believe that this was a terrorist attack. So that motivated me even more to come back and become a citizen.
Hmm. Interesting story. Immigration, of course, is a big issue here in the United States today. It's become a polarizing issue. How do you think that's all going to shake down? How do you think it's going to end up, Ali?
Boy, that's a tough one. Even today, you see some tragic stories of families trying to get here and not making it. So I don't have an easy solution for this. First of all, my heart goes out to anyone that's dealing with a situation where their life is truly threatened, and I hope that there's a compassionate solution here. I'm for legal immigration. Dave, I want immigrants to experience the same amazing America that I did, and I feel that's only possible through a legal controlled way to figure it out. And I know a lot of very smart people are trying to do that. So I don't know how it's going to all shake down, but I do believe that there has to be a way to legally do this.
Can you talk a little bit about, because you are a native of Pakistan, now in the United States, U.S. citizen, can you compare the lifestyles a little bit in the two countries, Ali Master?
Sure, Dave. So very night and day different. Pakistan is a Muslim country predominantly, like 99%, 98% Muslim. And one of the biggest differences is that in Islamic countries, faith is very much intermingled with everything you do. So you're much more aware, and you'll hear calls to prayer 5 times a day. Many of your culture and religion sort of mix. Whereas in America, there's a separation of church and state. So culture and religion mix. It's very much an event-oriented society, so people don't worry about time as much. It's much more relational. People think as a group rather than America's like way up there in the charts and being an individualistic society. And then it's poor. There is not much of a middle class. The per capita income is like $1,500 a year. So the average person's really poor.
Let's talk a little bit about the five freedoms that you outline in your book, Beyond the Golden Door. Freedom to fail, freedom to build. Obviously, you've succeeded there, becoming a very successful entrepreneur and executive with Ernst & Young. Freedom to love, freedom to self-govern, freedom of religion. Are people not free in Pakistan to convert to other religions if they so desire?
Well, there's a gap, you know. There's a gap between, you could say, the what's on paper and what's talk and what's walk. You know, I'm proud that recently there's been some situations where the government stood up for some things like the blasphemy law. But in general, even if the Constitution might allow for some things, there are these laws against conversion, and it can very easily be manipulated that, hey, you're blaspheming something, and then there are truly laws in the books. So it becomes really hard to pursue any other faith without threat of persecution, not necessarily from the government. Even if the government wants to protect you, it's the people out on the streets that could sort of take matters into their own hands. So it's tough. It's very tough.
Freedom to love. That's fascinating, perhaps, to Americans, because we don't give that a second thought. In Pakistan, you are not free to love or marry the person of your choice. What is that all arranged in Pakistan?
Not all arranged, Dave. Heavy arranged marriage, it's still very common. I think the freedom, especially for women, is more restricted, and I talk about that in Beyond the Golden Door. Just even recently, it's not even been that long since the courts allowed an adult female to even marry someone of her choice, and there are honor killings that I'm sure you've heard about. So even, again, government might allow something, but that doesn't mean the family and the culture and the relatives will allow it. So, you know, honor killings happen if you sometimes marry someone you fall in love with. I think this depends on, are you middle class, are you rich, or are you the poor? And the more rural it is, the more harder it is for someone to love whoever they want to love.
Your first few years here in the United States, Ali Master, were very challenging. You, first of all, were attending college. You were thousands and thousands of miles away from family and friends. You worked at a fast food restaurant to earn tuition money. And then you got into a relationship with a codependent woman, and that led to some personal travails for you yourself, did it not?
It sure did. So, you know, you go from this very chaperoned, protected, sheltered environment for your first 18 years, and then boom, you're in America, college campus, and it's very open and free. And so in the beginning, I just didn't have any training and discipline, and I had no idea how to manage relationships. And so, yeah, one of my first girlfriends, it was a very hard time, and she was codependent. I had no idea what that was all about. I was just 19, right? And it did lead to feeling totally trapped, and my grades were falling. I was in debt. I didn't know how to manage relationships, and it did land me in the hospital with a slashed wrist, but thankfully it didn't work.
Let's talk a little bit about patriotism. 4th of July, we mark the Declaration of Independence, America becoming independent from Great Britain at that time, more than 200 years ago. What do you think about that? What do you think about the way we celebrate independence and celebrate patriotism here in the U.S.?
Well, I think it's fantastic, and I think many nations do this. I just wish it would carry on the sense of patriotism, right? And similarly, we just did Memorial Day, and we recognize men and women who have paid the ultimate price. But I guess I'd want something more to come out of it as to what does freedom look like, and what are we going to do with average citizens to protect these freedoms beyond just celebrating those. You know, I want to have some action come out of it. So that's something I'm thinking about myself. Book comes out next week, so it's a great time for a book on American freedoms. But what do we do the other 364 days of the year to remember those freedoms? And what does preservation of freedom look like in our everyday life? That's one of the chapters focuses on that, to kind of give you a takeaway.
One final question before we run out of time here, Ali Master. I mentioned immigration has become a polarizing issue here in the United States. To what extent do you think fear is shaping the fabric of American culture these days, specifically fear of immigrants? Can you talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, I think, Dave, that's an excellent question. I do feel that some of that is driving it, you know, as far as our concern. I think some of it's, again, as I said, some of it's reasonable and legitimate, because I don't think we can open our borders to everyone who wants to come, or the way America is today will change. But I think there has to be a compassionate and legal way to do this. I think immigrants like me that come here legally, I've created like thousands of jobs in my career. I have followed the laws. I have, just contributed in the ways I can. And I think there are many immigrants like that who contribute to the fabric of society, and that's what makes us unique. So I'd like to see more of that, but I do think fear is playing a factor.
Our guest, Ali Master, now a senior partner with the global firm of Ernst & Young. He lives in Texas with his wife, Judy, and their four children. He writes about his immigrant experience and becoming a citizen of the United States in a new book entitled Beyond the Golden Door by Ali Master. Nice to talk with you today, sir. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Sure. So long now.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Bushy blonde hairdo, surfing USA. You'll catch them surfing at the
inside, outside USA.
Ventura County line.
Inside, outside USA.
Santa Cruz and
Trinidad. Inside, outside USA. Inside, outside USA.
All over Manhattan.
Inside, outside USA.
And down Bohini Way.
Inside, outside.
Everybody's gone surfing.
Surfing USA.
We'll all be planning out a route we're gonna take real soon. We're waxing down our surfboard. We can't wait for June. We'll all be gone for the summer. We're on safari to stay. Tell the teacher we're surfing, surfing USA.
And Anchor Keys and Hawaii.
Inside, outside USA. Pacific Palisade.
Inside, outside.
Everybody's gone surfing,
surfing USA.